All right, James in chapter number 4 this evening, and we will continue our study in the practicalities of our Christian faith. And I've been trying to conclude James chapter number 4 for several weeks, a few messages, and every time it seems like every few verses that just I have to stop here and I have to stop there. And as I was preparing this message, it came to, I just began to figure out, this is a great message looking forward to 2014. So today we're going to look at James 4 in 2014. And the reason it is a good message to lead into a new year is because it talks about presumption towards the future. So let's read and beginning reading in verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For you know not what 2014 holds. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So let's think about this. As we look forward to the new year, I'm sure there are some people that are making some New Year's resolutions. There are some things they want to do differently maybe in the new year. Some people making plans about, I'm going to do this in 2014, and I'm going to do that in 2014. And whatever the case might be, we want to try to make plans for the upcoming year. And this message is not saying that making plans are bad. But how are we going to make plans when we don't know what the will of God is? How can we make plans when we don't know what God's specific will for us is day by day? So, but it's difficult for us to make plans, but we want to make sure that we are making them according to the will of God. And that's what James is talking about here. Making our plans according to the will of God. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, Lord, we do thank you for another opportunity we can come together and worship around your word. God, we thank you for Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church and the members of it. Lord, what a blessing you are to us. And Lord, as we look back on 2013, Lord, we've just been so blessed. We faced our trials, we faced our tribulations. But Lord, all of us that are here tonight, we are blessed beyond what we deserve, and we thank you for that. And God, as we gather together again and we're opening your word, we just pray that you'll speak to our hearts. We pray, God, that you'll help us to learn about the practical application of our belief in following you. And dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts and open our minds. Encourage us, dear Heavenly Father, as we look forward to 2014, knowing that you do have a will for 2014, that you do have a plan and purpose for every one of our lives. Help us to make our plans according to that, God. Looking to you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Just bless our hearts tonight as we study together. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And so tonight, the first thing we want to look at as we look at this message, James warns the recipients of this letter about the dangers of presumption. Now, the presume means to take for granted, to assume or suppose. So as you look in verse number 13, it's talking about these recipients here, and they are assuming that they're going to go to a certain city and they're going to stay for a certain time and they're going to buy and sell and they're going to get gain. They are presuming that their plans are going to take place. They are taking it for granted that God is going to give them the ability to get gain. And so we understand they are being presumptuous. You know, sometimes we live our lives as the scoffers, which are described in 2 Peter chapter number 3. Hold your place there in James 4, and let's turn over to 2 Peter in chapter number 3. Just a few pages over. And here it tells us about warning of those in the last days are saying, aware of the promise of the coming. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, I'm not saying that we are scoffers. What I'm saying is we live our lives like the scoffers. The scoffers are saying, we've been hearing about Jesus' return from the times of the Father. He's not going to return. We're just going to live however we want to. We're going to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And so we don't really pay much attention to what's going on in our lives. We just kind of live without any concern about the plan of God and the will of God. We just kind of live like things are going to continue on like they always have. Do you really consider that 2014 may be the year of the Lord's return? Do you consider that God has a specific will for 2014? See, I think that sometimes we just kind of live our lives and we're just going to, you know, we want to say, well, I'm just going to live day by day and take life as it comes. And you know, I'm just going to, somebody else sometimes will ask me, well, how you doing? And I'm just kind of jokingly say, well, just trying to survive another day. And sometimes that's the way we live our lives. We just try to make it through. You know, or if I can just make it to Friday, you know, if I can just, the old song, everybody's working for the weekend, you know. We can just make it to Friday, then everything's going to be good. And we don't really take into consideration. We just think life's going to continue on like it always has. We're being presumptuous, and because of that, we're living like the scoffers. So we don't know when the Lord is going to return. So it is presumptuous for us to say, well, in December of 2014, I'm going to, oh, maybe you're not. Who knows what tomorrow holds? Just like J.R. said, I didn't recognize it, but his Antha passed away. It was totally unexpected. She passed away in her sleep last night. I mean, we don't know. One of us may not wake up in the morning. So it's presumptuous for us to make plans without consulting the will of God. Now let's look at this. Matthew 24 and verse 36. Again, hold your place in James 4. We're going to get back there in just a minute. Matthew 24 and verse number 36. Let's remember this. We do not know when the Lord is going to return. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be in the year 2041. We don't know when the Lord is going to return. And that's what Matthew 24, 36 says. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angel, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus himself didn't know the day when the Lord was going to return. So it is wrong for us to be presumptuous about the upcoming year. We do not know what 2014 holds. We should then, therefore, we should do all things according to the Lord's will. We should make sure that we're following the Lord's will. If the Lord leads me here, I'm going to do that. If the Lord leads me there, I'm going to do that. If the Lord blesses me, I will get gain. So we need to be dependent upon the Lord's will. We need to know what the will of the Lord is, and we need to follow the Lord's will, and we need to be dependent upon God and upon His will as we look forward to 2014. Now go back to James chapter number 4. Because it says, if the Lord wills, if the Lord will, for you ought to say, verse 15, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Do you know that it is the Lord's will whether you live or you don't? God's in control of that. And I know you know that, but no one goes before their time is what everyone says, and it is so true. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But what about the Lord's will? What about the Lord's will in your life? Always, do we always know the Lord's will for our lives? And think about how simple this is. Here's the guy that says, listen, I think it would be good for me to move to Lexington for a year and go down there and work for a year. And I think I'll go down there, I'll get me a good job, and I think I'll be profitable. That's what this verse of Scripture is talking about. And James is saying that is presumptuous. We shouldn't say, I'm going to move down there and get me a good job and it's going to be profitable. We should be saying, I know that the Lord is leading me to move to Lexington because He's got a plan for me there and He's going to prosper me there when I acquire a job. Okay? It's all according to the will of God. How often do we consider the Lord's will? And I don't know, I talk about this a lot, and I don't know if people think that I'm talking out of my head or whatever, but here's scripture for what I'm saying. The Lord has a purpose, and the Lord has a will for your life, and everything that we do in our lives should be according to the will of God. It is foolish and foolhardy for us to make a step without the will of God and without the plan of God and without knowing the will of God. Do we consider the Lord's will? We must. We must consider the Lord's will. We must know what the will of the Lord is for our lives. Now, many do not consider the Lord's will. And this was the problem for the recipients of this letter. They didn't consider the Lord's will. And so therefore, James is warning them about being presumptuous. Now, where is it that they are to know the Lord's will? Think about this. In the area of buying and selling. Go back to verse number 13. Go to now, you say that today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. This is in trading. Should you buy? Should you sell? That's the Lord's will. You should know the Lord's will in those things. What about your career path? You know, what kind of job am I going to have? Should I find a new job? Should I stay in a job I'm in? Whatever. The who, what, when, where, how, and why. You should know all of those things because of God and His will. You should know what the will of the Lord is in all of those things. The point is, you should know the place where God wants you to go. And then I want you to notice, He says, I'm going to go and get gain. Do you realize that you cannot get gain on your own? God is the one who gives you the ability to get gain. Remember, He is the one that gives the power to get wealth. So it is foolish and foolhardy for us to think that our business is going to be profitable. Whatever kind of business it is, whether it's our own personal business at home, or whether it's our business in our career, the Lord is the one that makes those things profitable. And let's remember this, God can take something that in the world's view would seem to be an unwise move, but if we're making that move based upon the will and the plan of God, it's going to be blessed of God, and so therefore it is going to get gain. Remember, there are those people who fill the boxes with holes in the bottom. And there are many people who spend their lives filling up those, trying to fill up a box that has a hole in the bottom. What am I saying? I'm saying that there's people that are trying to fill up a box, and because it's not blessed of God, God is never going to allow it to be profitable and never going to allow it to bring comfort, never going to allow it to gain strength. Because you're going without consideration of God. You're going without taking the plan of God and the will of God into consideration. So we must pay attention because it is God. No matter what it is, the profitability of life comes from God. No matter what it is, it always comes from God. So we can understand that. Also, when we look at verse number 14, the reason that we should know the will of God, if the Lord will, we should say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that because of the timing of your life. You see, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. You see, we don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm sure that every one of us has this entire week mostly planned out. Some of you have to work tomorrow. Some of you have next week off. Those of you that have to work tomorrow, You know, I can think of Tammy in particular. You know, on a normal week, she's got her whole week planned out. She knows she's going to spend so many days here and so many days there. She's going to travel here and travel there. Hopefully, she's going to be home some. You know, she got all that planned out when that's all good because that's part of her job. But we really don't know what tomorrow holds, right? We really don't know what is on the morrow. And so the reason that we should do all things according to the will of God and seeking the blessings of God and following the plan of God is because we do not know what tomorrow holds. All of our family, yesterday, the plans of our families, Kimberly's family and Ron and Scott and Jessica, their plans changed whenever Mary Lou fell off the piano bench and they rushed her to the hospital. See, no one had that in their itinerary. No one had that written down. No one had money saved up to say, you know, we're going to have to make this many trips, you know. And Leroy and Mary Lou, I'm sure they didn't have it. Okay, we know this is going to be doctor bills, so we're going to have X amount of dollars saved. No, you don't plan for those things in a lot of cases. Maybe we should, but we don't. And so we don't know what tomorrow holds. And so it's impossible for us to plan for something that we don't know what's going to be there. So the reason that we ought to know the will of God and do the will of God is because our life is but a vapor. Long life or short, our life is from God. Mom just continues to be amazed that she says, I can't believe I'm 80 years old. Helen's going to be 90. Berlin says, I can't believe you're going to be 84, Berlin? 87? Whew. I'm sure he's still saying, I can't believe I'm 87. I can't believe I'm 87 years old. It's hard to believe. But yet his life is but a vapor. 87 years is gone in an instant. Probably seems like yesterday he was just courting Jean. Hard for me to believe, you know, that I've been married 25 years. You know, when I went home over Christmas, you know, that's one of the times we kind of catch up on people that used to be part of our lives. And I was just sitting and thinking about some of my co-workers, some of them in particular. Some of them I don't know where they're at, but some of them I know they've passed on. And you know, it's hard to believe that I've been gone from there for as long as I have. But anyway, you know, our life's but a vapor. Whether your life is as long as Merlin's or whether you're as young as JP, life is but a vapor. And so, especially in comparison to eternity. And why does it talk about life as but a vapor? Because it's talking about the vapor that the dew in the morning that rises, you know, the little fog that's on the ground, and when the sun rises, the sun burns it up and then it's gone. That's the way our life is. And so since our life is but a vapor, and since we know that our life comes from God, let's remember that. The life that I now live, I live by the will of God, by the faith of the Son of God. So the life that I live, I'm living it because it is the gift to me from God. The talents that I have because God gave them to me. Whether they're as good as someone else's or better than someone else's. Whatever they are, they're not as good as someone, and I may be more talented in some areas than others. Whatever they are, whoever I am what I am by the grace of God. This is the Lord's life. I should consider His will for it. Now, when we read these verses, it says that our life is like a vapor. Most of the time, it says that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Most of the time, a lot of people will use this verse to say, well, my life's going to be short. It doesn't mean your life's going to be short. It just means, it's just talking about the brevity of life. And so therefore, we need to know the will of God. And since we need to know the will of God, since this life that I have has been given to me by God, then I need to know His will. And I think that knowing His will means for me to live with purpose. Do you know someone who lives their life without any purpose? I mean, they just go from day to day and day to day and day to day. They don't really know where they're going. They don't have any plans. They're just living, and that's it. Well, first of all, if you don't have any goals in life, you can never accomplish anything. The reason that some people feel like their life has no value is because they have no goals. They have no purpose in life, and so therefore they can never achieve anything. And so they feel like, what's the value of my life? Folks, one of the great things about having a purpose and having goals in your life is when you attain those purposes and when you attain those goals, you know that your life has value. And here's the deal. No matter what your life is, if you know that you're doing what God wants you to do, no matter how the world sees your life, if you know that you've done exactly what God wants you to do, you know you've done everything that He's called you to do, and so you know He's going to look at your life and say, well done. You know you're going to receive rewards. Oh no, we may not be a baseball star or a football star or a Hollywood person, or we may not be, you know, Bill Gates and own the large companies and all, you know, we may never be rich and famous. More than likely, none of us are. And so from the world looks at us, who's that person? We don't care about them. But when God looks at us, that's my child. That's the one that's being faithful to me. That's the one that's doing everything I ask them to do. It's living with purpose. And when you live with purpose, you can have accomplishments. And that gives you feel like that you've accomplished something. So if we know what God's will is, then we can follow it fervently. And our life will be full of rewards. See, our life is but a vapor. But if we know God's will, and we know His purpose, then we can follow it and have great rewards. Do you know what God's will is for your life? Maybe that should be your goal for 2014. that I know that I'm going to find out what God's will is for me. And you know what? God's will for you may be something very simple. The other day, Kimberly and I think it was on Christmas Eve. I'm almost sure it was. Anyway, whatever day it was, we were going to South Shore sometime. So it was either the Saturday before Christmas or it was Christmas Eve. And we stopped over to Jim and Lula Reed's house. And as we pulled in there to their house, our car was pointing, you know, whichever way. Our car was pointing towards Miss Lunsford's house. And I noticed there was a car over there. Now y'all probably know whose car that was. I'll give you three guesses and the first two don't count. And I'll throw one out, it wasn't JR's, okay? Your purpose may be just to go visit Miss Lunsford every couple of weeks. But if that's what God's purpose is for you, and you're fulfilling that purpose, then that's a life well lived. That's a life full of rewards. I'm just doing what God told me to do. It may be delivering the food to the mission. It may be taking care of the nursery. I don't know what God's will is for you. I know what God's will is for me. And if we're being faithful to that purpose, it's a life well lived, and it's a life which will be rewarded. So for 2014, it may be taking care of the refreshments at BBS. You know, there's some great things about Bible school. There's things that you know that are always going to be done. You don't have to say, well, who's going to take care of this and who's going to take care of that? Hey, it's all taken care of. I was talking to Kimberly's uncle Christmas Day. I mean, one of the things, we're having a harder and harder time getting people to work Bible school. And I'm like, not us, baby. We know everybody who's going to do everything. And what a blessing, you know. It may be providing the ice for all of our functions. And if that's God's will for you, then and you're doing God's purpose, that's a great thing. And that's a life that's going to be well rewarded. But you've got to know what it is. The worst thing would be to do is sell yourself short and say, well, this is all God wants me to do, when you could do more, right? Thinking about the brevity of life means that you're living life with a purpose. Because we want to always remember, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Let's remember that the will of God determines all things which happen. They are known as the purposes or the decrees of God. Known unto God are all of His works from before the foundation of the world. You understand that? You understand the impact of that? Everything that God is going to do from now throughout eternity, He knows it all. It's already been determined. Whatever takes place in 2014, it's already written down in the decrees of God, the will of God. Whatever's going on in 2014, God already knows about it. God's already got it planned out. He's decreed how all those things are going to work together for His glory and for your good. I mean, it's the plan of God. It's the will of God. It's the decrees of God. And He knows all about it. So let's live our lives according to that. Our proper response should be either, I know this is the Lord's will, so I will do this or that. I know what God's will is, so I'm going to do this or that. Or, I will live to do this or that because the Lord is going to cause it to prosper. I will be able to go and sell because God is going to cause that to prosper. You know, think about this. If you knew that, okay, I know that God wants me to go do this. He wants me to go take this career or whatever. And I know that's what God's will is. Then here's what I know. I'm going to be profitable in that thing because it's God's will. Now, it may not be profitable in my terms and what I always think, and it may take a different path and a different road than I have envisioned. But if I'm doing what God wants me to do, I know He's going to cause it to prosper because I know that's what He told me to do. And I want to be in the center of His will. So let's understand. Let's do things according to the will of God. Now, we began talking about presumption. Notice that James warns them in verse number 16 and tells them that presumption is evil. Presumption is evil. Verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. You know, if you take that verse and you read verse number 13 and somebody comes along and says, hey, you know what? I'm going to go down to Lexington and I'm going to get me a job. And they've already got it laid out there for me, and I'm going to be I'm going to sell cars down there for XYZ car dealership. And when I go down there, at least a year I'm going to stay down there, and I'm going to be good. I'm going to get game while I'm down there. If somebody came and told us that, said, "Well, I got this great opportunity. I'm going to go take that opportunity, and I think it's going to be profitable for me," would we consider that evil? We wouldn't, would we? But God says that's evil. God says that is evil. That presumption is evil. Why? Because you are boasting about your plan and about your ability. It is your boasting that makes it evil. Because it is a disregard for God. It is not saying God has led me here. It's not saying that God is going to bless my abilities. It's not saying God is going to cause me to get gain. You see, it's taking the focus off of God and it's putting the focus on self. And James says, that's evil. You know, this is one of those places where sometimes what we think as men is no big deal, but in the eyes of God, it's sin and wickedness. Evil. So we need to be careful. That word boasting that's used there in that verse is derived from a wandering or roaming, a vagabond, a quack. And I don't know what this word is. I've meant to look it up 3 or 4 times and I forgot. We'll look it up after church. A mountebank. Maybe Delvin knows what it is. I don't know. But I'm reading you a definition that I got in some of my studies. It's from the empty boast of such concerning the cures and wonders they perform. The word passed to the sense of a boaster. In other words, somebody had been talking about how good they're going to do and how their performance is what it's going to be. And because of that, it turned into boasting. I'm going to do great things. Yet in reality, I have no power to do great things on my own. So when I begin to say, look what I have done, look what I'm going to do, or I think that's boasting, that's stealing glory from God, and God says it's evil. So we need to be careful. And then lastly, verse number 17. Not following the path that God has planned for you is sin. You see, we always read verse number 17 of James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not to him it is sin. We always read that and we take that verse out of context and we don't keep it in line with what is being spoken. Here's what it is. If you know the will of God and you know that how you ought to follow the will of God and you know that you ought to seek the will of God and you ought to seek the blessings of God upon your life and you don't, it's sin. Now that's serious, isn't it? If you do not consider the purpose of God for your life, it is sin. If you don't follow the will of God for your life, it is sin. But it's much deeper than that. It's also, you can take that verse and apply it. If we know that we ought to do good, and we do not, it is sin. I got two slides here that have the commentary of Albert Barnes on them. That he who knows what sort of views he should take in regard to the future and how he should form his plans in the view of the uncertainty of life and still does not do it, but goes on recklessly forming his plans beastingly and confident of success is guilty of sin against God. You see, that person who does not know the plan of God and does not live their lives according to the purpose of God is guilty of sin. Here's why. Because the life that you have is the life that God has given you. And you're saying, it's my life and I'm going to use it the way that I want to. We need to remember we've been bought with a price. Or your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. And so therefore, if you want to take your life that God has given you and use it for your own benefit, it's sin. It's sin. If you do not live your life according to the plans and the purposes of God, to you it is sin. Especially since you know. And here's the thing. To whom much is given, much is required. You have been given much because you have been raised and you have been taught the sovereignty of God. You've been taught about the directive will of God and how God has a plan and a will. And so since you have been taught, you know. And then if you say, God, I know what your word teaches, but I'm going to live my life my own way and follow my own plan and do my own thing, that's sin. Hard to see. If he understands what his duty is, listen. If he has the means of doing good to others, if by his name, his influence, his wealth, he can promote a good cause, if he can consistently with other duties relieve the distressed, the poor, the prisoner, the oppressed, if he can send the gospel to other lands or can wipe away the tear of a mourner, if he has talents by which he can lift a voice that shall be heard in favor of temperance, chastity, liberty, and religion, he is under obligations to do it. And if by indolence or laziness or avarice or selfishness or the dread of the loss of popularity, he does not do it, he is guilty of sin before God. No man can be released from the obligation to do good in this world to the extent of his ability. No one should desire to be. The highest privilege conferred on a mortal besides that of securing the salvation of his own soul is that of doing good to others, of alleviating sorrow, instructing ignorance, raising up the bowed down, comforting those that mourn, delivering the wronged and the oppressed, supplying the wants of the needy, guiding inquirers into the way of truth, sending liberty, knowledge, and salvation around the world. If a man does not do this when he has the means, he sins against his own soul, against humanity, and against his Maker. If he does it cheerfully and to the extent of his means, it likens him more than anything else to God. A man knoweth to do good and doeth it not, saying to him sin. That's some heavy teaching for us tonight. We have the ability and we don't, we sin. Whatever abilities that you have and you've been given from God, if you do not utilize them, it's sin. So 2014, knowing the purpose of God, knowing the plans of God, doing good because and expecting God to prosper because we know the will of God, all of these things mashed in together give us a perspective as we look forward to 2014. So what will be your outlook for 2014? Maybe if we consider these passages of Scripture, our outlook for 2014 and our prospect for 2014 will look a whole lot different. Because each and every one of us will be seeking the will of God. Every one of us will be wanting to know what the will of the Lord is. And then, when we know that will of God, we will begin living a life of purpose. And then, when we know that we're living a life of purpose, we'll come down to the end of 2014, if the Lord grants us, and we'll say, you know what?
2014 has been profitable because it has been walked in the center of God's will. And at the end of the day, that's what we want, right? To know that God is well pleased because we have walked according to His will. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bless the teaching of Your Word. We thank You for this teaching. Help us all, dear Heavenly Father, to seek Your will, to know Your will, and to do Your will. And God, help us to always rely upon You for our profitability, for our ability to get gain. And we thank You, God, that You know all about it. You know all of the works. You know all of our lives. You know what the future holds. Help us to walk in that knowledge, in strength, and in faith, and in peace as we walk with You. Thank You tonight for all You do for us. Thank You tonight for Your Word. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We're dismissed.